If you are a regular listener here on 2SER Breakfast, you'll know that it is the week that was. Anthony was just correcting me. It's the week that was. Anthony, how are you?
Not too bad. How's it going, Willie?
I'm well, thank you. What have you got for us in the week that was?
What a week. What a week. Yeah. What a smorgasbord of unwanted idiocy.
I know. I'm quite excited. There's so much to talk about.
Well, let's start with the $3.7 million milkshake video.
Oh.
Supposed to educate young people about consent.
It's so bad. Oh. Do you have teenagers?
I have an 8 and a 10-year-old.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, consent is a big deal, isn't it?
Huge deal. I have a 21-year-old, so yes, the consent talk has happened in our house.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. And look, I mean, it's actually something pretty straightforward, and it should have been approached as a straightforward, straight down the line problem that has to be talked about and dealt with. It was just another great example where this government botches almost everything it touches because it doesn't talk to experts.
Yeah.
Well, in the case of the milkshake video, any expert.
Did it look like, did it feel like it was set in the 1950s for you?
Well, the set was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's such a, like this old electrical equipment behind it. It's all kind of, I don't know. Well, when I first watched it, I thought maybe it's like a video from COFA by one of the students.
I would love to have seen the marketing brief, like the brief that was given to the agency that did that ad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, what's really required here is a serious straight-up discussion about sex and relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, I said the word sex.
I know. Oh, God, Anthony,
milkshakes.
We're on breakfast radio. You can't say that word.
Yeah. I mean, someone needs to tell the government sex is where they get voters from. You know, it's something we can talk about.
Yes.
But look, there needs to be a sensible discussion with our boys about consent. And there needs to be a different discussion with girls. And then there needs to be a discussion where they're both brought together.
Yes. That sounds very wise. Do you want a job in government?
$3.7 million,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah. So, look, that was one aspect of this week. But our Prime Minister had a pretty embarrassing week, I have to say. It's almost the end of April and we finally have a plan for rolling out vaccines.
Woo!
Yeah. Now, in short, the states are going to take care of it.
Yeah, right.
I feel better already.
I know. Thank you, Gladys.
Just to give you an idea where we are standing, Wednesday, there was a big deal made about the fact that 67,000 Australians got the jab. It sounds impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But if you do the maths, let's say there's around 20 million people waiting.
Yeah.
67,000 going into 20 million. We wouldn't get our first injection at this rate until sometime in February next year.
Yeah, well, I kind of thought, I mean, my husband and I are in different age groups and he was like, oh, we're going to be vaccinated by the end of the year. And I was like, well, you might be, but I won't be.
Yeah. But even at this rate, it would be sometime until the second half of 2022. So expect vaccination rates to go up through the roof because they'll need to.
Yeah.
But look, Morrison wasn't done. He's been doing his homework to get ready for Joe Biden's two-day climate summit.
Yeah.
As we now know, America just announced it's reducing its emissions reducing its 2005 emissions by 52% by 2030. It's doubled its Paris targets.
Yeah, right.
Japan has come out and said it's going to increase its target to 46%.
Yep.
Australia hasn't announced that it's increasing its target, of course.
Look, I'm not. Scott Morrison, I think, has got a lot of work ahead of him. And I, on the whole targets thing, I agree that we need to be aiming high. I'm also kind of a realist, though. So if they actually just don't. All those targets going to be met?
Well, look, even if you get close, isn't that something? If you had a 26% target and you exceeded it, maybe you could have gone a lot harder. And if America sets 52 and it gets to 47, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's true. B plus.
Yeah, okay.
So Australia, we have to basically call ourselves out for what we are. We're recalcitrant on climate change. So maybe the states should set a target.
Yeah. What, for us?
Yeah. I think the states should take it. Let's give climate change over to the states.
Oh, my God. Some states would be shot.
Yeah, true. Look, Morrison at the Business Council this week had an interesting thing to say when he said that, you know, Australia won't achieve net zero in cafes, dinner parties and wine bars of our inner cities. He said this to the Business Council as they sat down and had dinner with wine and...
Yes, they did. Yeah. Yes, they did. Well done, Scott. Read the room. Read the room.
I'm guessing also some of the people from the Business Council have actually stepped into a cafe at some stage in their lives.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, you know, Morrison's pathetic attempt at bullying and deflecting, you know, was only matched by the announcements that have followed. Now, we're going to hear a lot about green and blue hydrogen.
Okay.
In the media over the coming weeks. Green hydrogen is produced from renewable energy. It comes from, you use water as a raw material. Blue hydrogen uses coal or natural gas.
Okay.
And it relies on capturing the emissions and storing them and processing them. Now, the technology for green hydrogen exists. It just needs to be scaled up.
Yeah.
Blue hydrogen needs, as Australia will be doing, spending $500 million developing the technology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So which one would you rather have, green or blue hydrogen?
Okay. With the green, do we, like... What about areas that are in drought? How do they...
Well, you can use seawater.
Okay, you can use seawater. Okay, good to know. And what... Please forgive my ignorance, but so is the water then put back into the sea?
When you burn the hydrogen, it combines with oxygen, goes back to water. So it's actually it's actually a completely self-sustaining cycle.
You
know, as long as the sun is... Is shining.
As long as the sun is shining.
Or the wind is blowing.
Yes.
So it's completely self-sustaining. So look, older listeners will remember in the dying years of the Howard government, there was a lot of talk about clean coal.
Okay.
And guess what? We're still talking about clean coal because it was a fantasy to avoid actually the government taking action.
Doing anything.
Yeah. So we just wasted 20-odd years and a bucket load of money. So, you know, the question is, can Morrison pull off the same tawdry, you know, pathetic bait and switch? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, Scott Morrison, no one wants your milkshake.
What do you... Anthony, that is gold. That is so gold. What do you want him to say? What would he say that you would go, okay, Scott, you're doing a decent job?
Basic facts. Australia has to transition away from fossil fuels. The world has to transition from fossil fuels. If our children are going to have a future, the coal... And the gas has to stay in the ground.
Yeah.
So Australia will be doing its bit. We'll be setting a target, a target that is comparable with the wealth of this nation and the position it holds.
Yeah.
And we'll take this seriously.
Yeah.
And we'll be a world leader.
Yeah. We were talking to an expert about this earlier on this week, and she was saying she's just bought a new car and she's bought a hybrid. And I was like, I'm going through the process as well of buying a new car at the moment, but I don't have the resources to buy a hybrid or an electronic car.
Yeah. Look, we're in that stage, we're in transition. And look, electric cars are still a plaything for the rich, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But the prices are coming down and we're probably about 5 years away.
But what happens to all the cars that, like, if I buy a new car today or this year and it's petrol, what happens to me in 5 years' time?
Well, a car has a life cycle between 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you buy the car now, it probably around 2030, it's off the road. And look, we've got to transition away. So if we had a 50% target, this nation had a 50% target, that doesn't mean that the weekend is banned, like the Liberal Party said last election, or the utes are banned. It just means that by 2030, petrol cars will be a smaller proportion of cars that they are currently on the road. And by probably about 2040, petrol cars will be kind of like some kind of vintage thing that you go and look at.
Yeah.
Be like a Model T Ford.
Yeah. Maybe that's a growth market there, converting petrol cars to electric.
Well,
why aren't we investing money in that?
There are companies doing that overseas, and it's one way of keeping vintage cars on the road. So there's a lot of kits out there for, you know, making your Jag into an electric car and things like that. So it's coming. Look, we are transitioning. And the other thing is that the world is doing this.
Yeah.
Is Australia going to be part of it, or is Australia going to be...
hanging down here at the bottom, doing our thing.
Yeah, I've talked about this, that Australia at the moment is setting itself up to be one of the bad guys. Do we want to be one of the bad guys?
No, we don't want to be one of the bad guys.
No.
Anthony, thank you so much for the week that was.